Blog Talk Radio.
Don't sweat the technique. Don't sweat the technique. Ahead, check the file. Let's see who fits the dot next to style. I flip the script so it can't get filed. At least not now, it'll take a while. I change the pace to complete the beat. I drop the bait to MCs get weak. For every road they trace, there's a scar they keep. Cause when I speak, they freak to sweat the technique. I made my debut in 86 with a melody in the president's mix. And I would stay on target and refuse to miss. And I still make hits and beats. Parties, clubs, and cars and jeeps. My underground sound vibrates the streets. MCs wanna beat, then I play for keeps. When they sweat the technique.
Good morning, all, and welcome back to our ninth episode of the final, excuse me, Midnight Madness. I am Corey Farrell, alongside John Fanta. And John, after a little weekend hiatus here, we are back. I'm in South Orange, you are in South Orange, and this is our first time trying a in-home studio here in South Orange. And John, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing excellent, Corey. A brand new week begins of Midnight Madness, and what a day it was at the Open Championship. We are going to get to that, because it was a wild weekend, the old court at St. Andrews. But first, I start with this. It's the New York Mets. Look, folks, I get it, you Mets followers who listen to the show. This has been another year that has contained frustration. You are upset about your offense. I get it. Tonight, a 7-2 loss to the Washington Nationals. Matt Harvey not very good. And the Mets are 3 games back in the NL East, 2 games back in the wild card. They are 48-45. And yet, you want the front office's head. You want Sandy Alderson out. You want changes made. You're expecting a second half swoon. I get the frustration. I'm a native Clevelander, and trust me, I live with it day in and day out. But 48-45 still speaks for itself. A winning record, second place, 3 games back, can be made up in just a matter of days. I still have the Nationals winning the NL East, but I'm asking you all to keep things in perspective. It is July 21st. The Mets need to get more than one bat. Are they going to do that? I don't think so. Because like a lot of teams, the Mets are in contention. They're in a lot more contention than a lot of other teams. But with the addition of a second wild card, which I know creates the best day that we get in baseball, the best couple of days, when teams are playing all out in a one-game wild-card play-in, the question becomes, do you like that plan? Does that overweigh the fact that near the trade deadline, we're pretty dead in baseball? And if the New York Mets don't make a move, they're in the same boat with a lot of teams. Folks, the future is bright for the New York Mets. Don't just go to change what has been built in one of the best pitching staff, if not the best at times, in the league. And that has been built by the front office. Just as you criticize, you have to give credit. Let's all take a breather here, Mets followers. And anybody who wants to go after the Mets, because 48-45, the winning record, and the New York Mets are in it, until otherwise noted. Could they be the Mets and miss the playoffs? It's still likely. If I had a bet, I'd probably bet on that. But that's why they play the games. Don't go jumping the ship yet. until this deadline passes and realize there are many teams over 20 that still have a realistic shot, at least they think so in the mirror, of contending. Mets followers, take a deep breath.
John, we're going to pack our bags and take a flight over to Fight Scotland, where the Open was played. And I want to talk about golf in general. And here's going to be my tip-off rant. You know, a lot of people, even my father included, golf is a sport where you watch on TV and it's something you fall asleep to. Granted, in real life, it's something I wish I was fantastic at. My short game, I wish could be a lot better, and you know, maybe I could not slice a ball left to right here and there.
That's right.
But lately, with the emergence of Spieth, both Zach and Dustin Johnson, McIlroy when he's not playing soccer during the 4th of July weekend, you know, I was very engaged in this weekend's Open. The last couple of holes, it came down to both each about 4 or 5 players were both negative 15. One stroke, one bogey, one birdie would win you the event. And that was very interesting watching. It's very, you know, nail-biting. You don't know which way a putt's going to go. It can roll around the cup. We saw Spieth, I want to believe, on the 15th hole. Pin shot, ball rolls out. Could have went 15 yards across the pin, and it rattled right around. And those are the kinds of breaks and lucks and, you know, things that really make you say, well, you know what, golf's not that bad a sport after all.
It's not.
You know what, it really isn't. And when we're going to get into more details.
Good sport.
Both in real life and on TV as of now, but.
I know you struggled with it.
The mini golf is a different story, but.
Yeah, you've won. You've beaten me, but I know you struggled watching it.
I do struggle watching it, but, you know, as of now, it's not something that I struggle anymore with, John. And my rant here is that give golf a chance. It may seem boring. They may whisper for commentary.
It's not.
And, you know, it's not. It really, you know, if there's a sport, a lot of people, you know, it's a rougher, drier patch in sports as of late. Not much going on in the MLB. They just come out of the All-Star break. NBA is not in season. The NFL is not in season. And golf's, you know, full swing. No pun intended. But give golf a chance. I love the Open today, John, and let's get into the Open. What it came down to precision. There was a playoff round, the first, second, 17th, and 18th. And what did you take away from the Open? You know, Spieth is a phenomenal. His Grand Slam chances came to a tough ending, but aside from that, fantastic watch, if I don't say so myself.
516-387-1570, 516-387-1570. I think that's the question here. And I want to say this. A lot of people said that Jordan Spieth today, didn't finish, was unable to do it, made it sound like he collapsed or just couldn't. It's just negativity around Jordan Spieth. Folks, the kid's 21, and that's not an excuse. It's an explanation. So while we were all sitting in the office today watching the kid come up just short, he still made a boatload of money.
$400,000 to be in.
The fact of the matter is this. Jordan Spieth is the new face of the game. I believe it. I'm buying it. Certainly. On American soil, he is. Oh, it would be so fun if he and Rory form a rivalry. It's exactly what this golf game needs. It's exactly what this sport needs. That was fantastic today. And despite the weather, which was rough, St. Andrews still outweighed any negativity with this past weekend. Very, very good to see the sport really take center stage today. I'm intrigued to see what the TV ratings were. 516-387-1570. I really do believe that Jordan Spieth is the new face of golf. I'm buying into it. And if not him, who is it? I guess you argue, Rory. The sport, like a lot of sports, it relies on its faces. I mean, it relies on those big-time stars. Not only that, with golf, you need somebody pulverizing. You need a personality. Spieth has a real he's a real cool hand figure. We seem to, you know, a little bit fired up when he's hitting good shots, but he has done no wrong here. He composes himself. It's exactly what the sport needs.
Exactly, John. And like I said, watching, you know, a major this close for, I'm going to admit, the first time in my life, it was something definitely that, you know, was intriguing. It wasn't something that had me wanting to fall asleep, and it, you know, kept me off my chair. And it's definitely a face game, you know. When Tiger Woods was the face of golf, it was something just seeing his playing abilities, and I want to know what happened to those abilities, and I would love to, like a Space Jam moment, I want to know if they got sucked out of him or something, but Phil Mickelson has been on a downhill slope, slippery slope for Tiger as well, but you know what? It's not, you know, after these guys go, it's not like they're going, they can be replaced. And Spieth and Johnson and McIlroy are players who can do just that. And being on the heels of an American coming out on top, let's turn back to the United States, John. Let's go to Maryland and Baltimore, where the United States men's national team, unbelievable performance, 6 goals. John, 6 goals, Dempsey with 2, Zardes, Johansson, Gonzalez, everyone contributing. John, what is it to say about this men's national team coming off of victory for the women in the United States? You know, like we've talked about on the show, soccer isn't a main face of sports here in America. It's basketball or football, and it's, you know, it's quite clear. And we can't, there's no going around that, but what do you make of this?
Well, this is outstanding for this country, and it really is something to see the U.S. dominate, like they did in the quarterfinals with the 6-0 win. And but it also says some negative things. I mean, this is not getting a lot of attention. The Gold Cup is not getting a lot of attention, folks. Honestly, I saw so much more golf stuff and baseball highlights than the Gold Cup. They've got to win the Gold Cup, Corey. They do.
They have to.
If the U.S. doesn't win the Gold Cup, that's, considering who they're facing in this, at this point would be embarrassing. Would it not be embarrassing slightly for American soil, for the Americans to lose at this point? They need to win the Gold Cup. That's when I'll respect it. It's great to see, don't get me wrong, but they have to win it.
They do. That's 100% right, John. You know, Mexico can give them fits. Mexico is a much better talented team. But aside from that, it's the way you have to ride the momentum and the way they've been playing as of late. We talked about earlier on a couple shows, the friendlies they played against Germany and the Netherlands, their spectacular performances they played there. And now you go into a Gold Cup. Listen, a soccer, the thing about soccer is that a team can be any team on any given night. That's the same with all sports. But if you're not on, your passes are off and you're not finishing, listen, one team can have one shot on goal and one shot and win the game 1-0, and you can have 18 shots on goal and still lose the game. So is it being able to finish? Dempsey in the air has been phenomenal. Looks like Abby Wambach out there. And, John, this United States national team is really impressing a lot of people around the world. And, you know, it did, you know, kind of upset me for a soccer fan looking in that Baltimore crowd and not seeing a filled stadium.
All right, so
in the United States, nonetheless.
So do you like Jurgen Klinsmann?
You have to. It's Jurgen. It's 60% of what he's been able to do with this men's national team is what's giving us success. You know, we've ran the 4-3-3 formation with Bradley as coach, and that obviously didn't bring as much success. And now we change to a 4-4-2, and that just spaces us out. Midfield gives us a lot of options, and Dempsey and Zardes, whether they're in the attack or Johansson, they are playing sensationally. And like I said, being able to convert your chances, finishing those chances, you got 6 goals out of it, so you're doing something right, John. So the United States men's national team, all credit to them. I hope people, you know, attend, you know, the semifinals and the final, which is in Philadelphia, John. I would love to go. I'm trying to find someone who would love to attend this trip. It's tickets, about $55 at, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles Stadium, Lincoln Financial Field.
I wish I could go. But I'm in Cooperstown for the Baseball Hall of Fame, which I'm very excited for.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be an exciting Sunday.
It would be one of.
So you're buying into Jurgen after the Landon Donovan stuff because that hit you hard.
Yes, but you know, it's very.
Is that a never forget moment still? Because I wanted to forget. You don't make that move if you think it's going to hurt your team.
It's tough to play the what if game. And you know what? It's. When Wojnarowski missed that goal when they played Belgium in the round of 16, that was heartbreaking. And I said to myself, Landon would have finished that with a blindfold on. Yes, he would have been more clinical. Yes, he's a leader. Yes, he would have helped his team. Yes, he's more experienced. Yes, but what if this? What if that? It's a tough game. And you know what? I'm impressed that even the United States, without Donovan, got out of that group of death. And that is something to say about without. Dempsey played sensational. Jermaine Jones played sensational. Michael Bradley needed to step it up. But, you know, he's playing well now. So, my hat's off to Jurgen Klinsmann. People may say he made the wrong move. There's a lot of people who love Landon Donovan, a lot of MLS fans, a lot of American fans, because he's done so much. That's clearly, but you can't play someone. Jurgen said physically, in that hot weather in Brazil, he wouldn't be able to, you know, keep up. He is old. He's not young like he's a lot of like Zardes and Johansson. And look what they're doing. They're performing. They're playing very well. They're young. They're quick. They're agile. And that is what's really going to help this United States team. And all credit to them, like I said, Lincoln Financial Field, I wish I could be there. I may not, you never know. But I think that they will come out on top with this Gold Cup. Soccer is a very momentum-based sport. The way they've been playing, John, I say they're going to take the Gold Cup. But John, we have about 13 minutes left on the show.
Well, I want to talk about this that just came out this evening. And then we are getting the movie talk and the great outdoors as well. Today was, if you haven't heard this, I think you've been living under a rock. It's not a very busy time in sports, folks. Let's be honest. We had the Open today. We've got baseball right now in full force. But I gave you a hot take on the Mets. I'm not going to give you 17,000 hot takes on baseball. The 2015 ACC Football Media Day was today. And all the media got their information gone. Well, they distributed the guide. Folks, this thing's like it's a novel. I mean, this was on page 145. Page 145 in the huge book that is the ACC Football Media Guide. Wake Forest, their schedule, underneath their schedule, underneath a bunch of different schedules on the page, it reads, well, for lack of a better term, the F word. You know what I said. NSFW, as the media is calling it, complete blunder. I don't even know how that happened. Hysterical. The conference apologized and made the appropriate changes. It's too late now. You prepare this guide for this day. There's a reason for the guide. It's for the media day. Yeah, we reference the guide during the season. They're not making new copies for people to read up on, send them out for the F this, you know what. Unbelievable. Now, don't get me wrong. I see it working closely with sports information people. Look, I'll be honest with you. There are hard tasks to that job. There are hard tasks at work. I'm sure whoever was making the long media guide and whatnot must have been an inside office joke. Hey, let's put this down. Yeah, and then they didn't take it off, and that's the ACC. It's kind of ACC football, too, which, to be honest, there are a couple really good teams. I guess Florida State, look, yeah. Miami had... they're still up there. We've seen Duke as a program come together. Virginia Tech with Father Time, Frank Beamer. But look, at the bottom of ACC football, well, I could see why someone got angry having to write out the Wake Forest schedule. That's all I'll say. I laughed. It's an unacceptable excuse. But that was excellent in the ACC football media time because you just would never expect to see it. You know what else you would never expect to see? A movie that you thought wasn't a chick flick turned out to be a chick flick, and its attempt to try to be a chick flick was a bad chick flick. It's a lot of chick flick. It wasn't good. It was a train wreck, no pun intended. The movie Train Wreck started on Friday. It stars Amy Schumer and Bill Hader. We're going to talk about this now. 516-387-1570. We're talking movies to this movie Monday on the show. Corey, we saw the movie last night. Folks, I don't really, when I make suggestions to go places, restaurants, movies, anything, I feel like it's a Cleveland thing that, of course, whatever I select is just, it's not good. It's never a good thing. It's almost like the place gets the Cleveland curse. Last night, Trainwreck got the Cleveland curse. Of course, it has LeBron James in it. I laughed in the movie. LeBron says that he's got an injury and he needs the doctor to come down, Bill Hader. And he didn't have an injury. Marv Albert comes out. That was the funniest part of the movie. I thought that was that. But, of course, LeBron fakes an injury. LeBron, don't go faking injuries because guess what happens? Then they actually happen. This is Cleveland. Corey, you've seen me angry. I stormed out of the car last night, though, as we were coming from the movie, absolutely infuriated. Because, of course, I suggest the movie. It was horrifyingly bad.
And, you know, from a perspective, when you go see it with a bunch of your good friends, it was a chick flick, to say the least.
Oh, God.
And it wasn't the greatest movie I've seen.
No, it was bad.
But, you know, if you go take a girl or your girlfriend or if you go on a date to see that movie and she's like, oh, let's go see Trainwreck, and I were to see that with, you know, a female friend, I wouldn't think it'd been that bad. Because I think it all depends on the kind of mood that you're in, you know, you're seeing it with a good friend, and we went, you know.
Fine. Okay, so you're saying that if you saw it with a girl, it would make the movie
better. I think it'd be more appropriate, yes, because it's...
Well, fine.
Yes. But for the instance that we saw it, I wanted to cry. Literally, I was snoozed off about four times in the movie. It was 10:45 film, got out at almost 1 o'clock in the morning, had to work the next morning, literally baffled.
But here's the thing. I saw the preview. It didn't really look like a serious chick flick in the preview. It did not. LeBron James. I didn't think LeBron would be in the chick flick.
And that's what we talk about when it's a good movie for a girl to see and a guy to see. LeBron James is in it. Amari Stoudemire is in it. John Cena is in it. There's athletes where we can be like, oh, yeah, hell yeah.
Hold on a second. You think girls know who Amari Stoudemire and John Cena is?
Yeah. I
know way too much about John Cena after seeing that movie. I saw way too much of John Cena. I saw more of John Cena than I saw of my ex-girlfriend at this movie last night. Horrible. Horrible. Oh, it's like John Cena at the STFU. That's what I got last night.
You can't see me, but...
Oh, I could see him. I didn't want to. I was doing the You Can't See Me, and I went to go get some more popcorn.
A movie that we want to suggest for everyone that's coming out this week in theaters, and we have a great segment to end the show with, so we can't get into much detail, is Southpaw, starring Jake Gyllenhaal. And that is a movie that you need to see. Whether you like sports or not, great previews, fantastic. Any movie with him in it, John, for me. If you haven't seen the movie The Prisoners, look it up. Hugh Jackman's in it. It's phenomenal. Well, it's got to be a little bit older for it. It's a tough movie to handle. A little gory, gruesome, and a little disgusting at times.
Yeah, don't see it with your grandma.
Yes. But,
that's not a chick flick.
Yes, no.
I don't think
that's a chick
flick.
That's aside from the point. But, John.
That's an elephant in the movie. Southpaw is good. And apparently Ant-Man's not bad. With Paul Rudd.
I saw the trailer for that, and I said to myself, there's no way this movie has any chance of being good. A good friend of mine, Steve Magnata, says one of the best Marvel movies she's ever seen. I found that hard to believe. got an 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb.com. That's the International Movie Database, John. And that's an impressive rate. I don't know. That was early on. Maybe the ratings went down when more critics saw it. But that is a cycle. Southpaw movies definitely look interesting. At the end of this week, I have high hopes for it. Who knows? Be a quote-unquote train wreck, but I'm going with a half-glass full look here. But we have to continue. We have 5 minutes left on the show, John. There was a movie that you saw with Kevin James called The Zookeeper. And, you know, I live in the town of South Orange. South Orange, I would say, is very suburban-esque. Not very woodsy, not very Lindsay. I live in Bridgewater, New Jersey. That's my hometown.
Folks, it's next to Newark.
There you go. I live in Bridgewater, New Jersey. That is where I am home. That's where my mother and my father live. That's where I was born and raised. I see deer every day. I see fox every day. I see every woodland animal you can imagine, practically day in and day out when I wake up and see the sun. Last night, after the movie, my friend dropped me off. I go to walk in the side door of my household. My garbage can is pulled to the side, and three raccoons scurry off beyond the backyard, and I literally froze and ran back to the front door. Raccoons.
In South Orange.
In South Orange.
It's a problem.
Spell with two C's for those who don't know how to spell raccoon.
Yeah, you know what? I had that this morning. I spelled it with one.
Yeah, and doesn't that a little...
Okay, well, yeah, but it gets worse.
It does get worse. And John, how does it get worse, may I ask?
Well, it gets worse because we had gone to the gym. Nice workout. Shot around. Folks ran like probably comparable 3 miles tonight. It felt like that. Literally, my legs were ready to fall off. And I come back over to the co-host's house. It looks like we're going to take a call here in a second. Come back over to the co-host house and call us. 516-387 if you have an outdoor animal problem. I was coming up the steps, ready to order some Chinese, and all of a sudden, bing, bang, bop, there goes my leg into the front step. My shin right now is destroyed. It's got a massive bruise on it. I went down in pain. And I look over to my left, and there's four cats just sitting there laughing at me, and then they run off. The damn zoo! The Third Street Zoo in South Orange, New Jersey. There's raccoons. There's cats. If you come over, you pay $5 for the petting zoo fee.
Petting zoo fee, which is, I saw four different breeds of cats, John, and we do have a caller, 440-777-2726, and yes, you are on the show. You are more than welcome to talk movies, do animals, or sports. What do you have for us?
Hello, hello.
That's my phone number.
A laugh.
Is that it?
Hello, hello, Akbar.
Well, that was a nice phone call. You know,
I'll tell you what, John.
I get 440-1216 calls from Cleveland, and I love y'all, Cleveland. I really do. But that phone call was worse than the movie Trainwreck. That was worse than the movie Trainwreck. And if you're going to call the show, say something valuable.
This just shows a lack of intellect sometimes. Yeah, you call the show and you're
way past his bedtime.
You hang up, that you know, I proceed to what you've been doing the rest of your night, but we had a good span. You know, there was actually, you know, a couple good calls.
There were.
You know, Luca Iorio, if you're tuning in, he had a good call.
Carter in Bakersfield.
Carter in Bakersfield, you can't, you know, talking about DeAndre Jordan. But we had, you know,
some guy called from Houston.
And, you know, that's great to see that exposure, you know, across, you know, California, Houston, New Jersey, make a triangle across the United States. But the 4-4 area code,
It's not Adlock.
It's in Westlake there. And that is in Westlake. But we're all tuning in. I know it's been a drier week in sports, and as of late,
dry outside.
It's one of the most brutal summers we've had in a while here in New Jersey. I do not know about Cleveland, but in summary, not much going on in sports, but we will be back tomorrow talking sports, news, and anything that we find that is unique that comes our way. And who knows, we may even see a black bear in my backyard tomorrow. Maybe a giraffe, who knows. The Third Street Zoo is now open for business.
Bambi!
Bambi, listen, the fox and the hound, all are welcome. Thank you for all tuning in. Episode 9 of Midnight Madness. And John, fun fact, this is our 9th episode, and we have officially reached 200 listeners.
Excellent.
On the show. So thank you again, Midnight Madness. I am Corey Ponerolo. You can follow me on my personal account where you can crack some jokes, get a laugh at C_PONTZ. You can follow my professional account where I talk Seton Hall athletics and much more at Corey_Ponerolo. And you can follow John Fanta for both at John_Fanta. And follow our show's Twitter account at Midnight Mad JFCP. That's at Midnight Mad JFCP. Thank you all for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow and tune in and look at our Twitter account. We may be doing some fun giveaways and some poll questions for our fans. So follow us, give us a like on Facebook. We appreciate all the support. Have a good morning, everybody, and stay cool.